Welcome to Ear Biscuits. I'm Link.
And I'm Rhett. It's time for another conversation with someone interesting from the internet. And this week, that person is Adonde Thorne, known on the interwebs as Swoozy.
Swoozy's got over 2 million subscribers and over 200 million views, all courtesy of entertaining his audience with captivating vlog-like storytelling that most often is accompanied with some sort of flash animation visual.
And Swoozy, he lives in Florida, and we had never really met him before. And we tried to connect with him before, tried to get him to be a Supernote captain. That didn't really work out. We tried to get him to make a cameo in our Nerd versus Geek video because we shot that in Miami.
Right.
None of that worked out for one reason or another, but we tracked him down and then trapped him in a hotel room at Playlist Live and said, you got to do an Ear Biscuit with us. We're going to trap you in a biscuit.
And I mean, I think you'll just kind of pick up on the energy in the conversation because we were legitimately excited to talk to Swoozy because we've been fascinated with his content. I mean, the fusion of vlogging plus animation plus comedic storytelling, but also he infuses kind of a moral or at least a positive message in so many of the videos. And when you put that with the subject matters that he covers, I would say in a lot of ways, we very much studied that and kind of questioned, is there something that we can do that's informed by Swoozy? I think that comes up in conversation. We told him that.
Yeah, and it's almost like he has created this instructional guide for guys in relationships. So many of his videos focus on these relational concepts like being in the friend zone or how to speak female. Here's a recent example of one of his most popular videos called Textually Active.
You know what's annoying? People who take hours to text back, especially when they're the ones that hit you up first, like, hey, what's up? And then you text back like nothing, chilling at Chipotle, what you up to? And they never text you back. The next person that starts text conversation with me and just leaves me hanging mid-conversation is going to get a Liu Kang bicycle kick to the face. If you get busy, just say, in class, BRB. At work, BRB. Because if you leave me hanging, don't be looking all confused when I show up in my Mortal Kombat cosplay because we about to fight for real because I'm a thug.
So Swoozy pulls from his own personal experiences and makes them into his entertaining vlogs. I mean, but I found myself thinking this even when we were talking to him. Oh, that story can't be true. It's just too, that's crazy or right. Sensational or whatever. But when you hear the stories, one, it's so entertaining you don't care. But I think the thing that I discover is that they are true. This is just, I mean, you be the judge of it on this Ear Biscuit because he shares some of those stories. But I think he's just the type of guy that has experiences that are storytellable, and then he has the skill to do it. I mean, here's another example. A video called My Girlfriend's Boyfriend.
But yeah, me and my girlfriend were doing this long distance thing for about a year, and then one day she calls me up and she's like,
we hired this new guy at my restaurant named Tim. Oh my god, he's such an idiot. He thinks he's so cool because he has a police record.
A week later, we're on the phone, we're talking again, and she's like,
Tim found out I was a virgin, and he's been, like, saying all this really sexual nasty stuff to me. And he was, like, saying how he'd have me trembling when he was done with me. And I'm like, oh, yeah?
Put him on the phone.
Okay, so we really enjoyed our conversation with Swoozy. And for a guy who makes a living talking, I was excited that he conveyed to us that he ended up talking about some things that he has never spoken about before.
That's what an Ear Biscuit will get you. Okay, just a couple of things to whet your appetite. He talks about his philosophy of the 3 G's, God, gaming, and girls. He also shares a specific crazy story about a hot mystery girl and a car chase.
Yeah, and a dark suicidal moment in his life that made him rethink his path forward. And also, waiting until marriage to have sex, but licking knee pits in the meantime.
Here it is, our Swoozy Ear Biscuit. One of your recent videos was about your ex-girlfriend.
Mm. The big ex or the little ex?
The big ex.
Big
okay,
ex.
Yes.
Crazy
yes.
ex.
Oh, cray, cray.
Yeah.
So it's called My Crazy Ex,
oh,
right?
Oh, yes, that one.
So the story is she's trying to reconnect with you, and over text, you mm-hmm. guys are setting up a date, basically.
Mm-hmm. That she never confirmed to be at.
And then when you don't show up,
I'm the bad guy.
And then you're telling your audience, you're sharing this whole thing mm-hmm. with your audience.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing Rhett and I said was, how much of this is true?
Oh, 100. I even toned those down. I watered down the majority of those crazy stories to make them believable. And that one is just like, it's so crazy. The stuff crazy follows me, first of all. But with that particular story, it's just like, I literally was looking at my phone like, how do I find these people to like just, okay, hey, you want to hang out today? I'm like, yeah. Do you want to hang out at 4? And then I never hear anything back. And then at 4:05, they hit me up like going crazy because I'm not where the... I can't get mad at you for not showing up because you never confirmed. The same way you can't get mad at me for not showing up. So, yeah, she sent me an email a little bit later saying, you know what? I forgive you for not showing up. And I'm like, are you kidding me?
But my question is, did she then send another email once she saw the video?
No, she... Okay, she says she stopped watching my videos.
Okay.
I also find funny, she also said, I gave you permission to start talking about me in your videos. So I think she went to my channel at one point and saw that I was talking about all these other girls and was like, I've been through so much with him and he never talks about me. So she hit me up saying I could talk about her, but she says now she refuses to watch my videos.
Okay, because that was the thing I was thinking.
Which is good for you.
It works out.
Yeah, I mean, you've got all this material mm-hmm. from the stuff that happens in your life.
But when people see the videos that they're being talked about
in. Yeah, right. So
that gets a little awkward. There's one where I talk about the friend zone. And as guys, you know, sometimes we know, other times we don't know. And there's sometimes we don't want to know. But there was this girl who kept inviting me to her house, like to spend the night. And it was a coworker. And I'm just like, okay, well, is she expecting me to make a move? So I talked about it in a video. I'm like, yo, I go to this girl's house at like 12 o'clock. I get there. It's almost a booty call if you think about it. And then I would never make a move. Like, she has a small little bed the size of a couch, and we're both pressed up against each other, and I never make a move. So I make the video. Yeah.
And then, so this happened.
This is real life right now. She'd close the door, lock it, and there's like, she has these big old drapes over the window, so no light is entering the room. Pitch black. And we're like literally pressed up against each other, and her bed is against the wall. So I'm against the wall and her. That's it. And this happened 3 weekends in a row. And
she sandwiched you against the wall.
Yes.
And you're sounds like she made the move.
But you're just sleeping. That's it.
All, I mean, I don't, I'm like, do I make a move? Because I don't want to make a move and say, oh, lights are on. This is shutting down production, you know? I didn't want it to be like that because we've always been cool friends. Never any kind of indication.
There was no like holding hands or kissing.
No cuddling, nothing.
And she says, you want to spend the night.
Yes.
And so you literally just sleep in her bed with her.
And it's a 55-minute drive. And she knows it's one way. Okay,
this is
so crazy. I finally made a video on the 4th week, like, yo, guys.
Oh, you did it 4 times.
You get 3 times. And on the 4th week, I made a video like, guys, I don't know what's going on, da-da-da-da-da. Should I make a move? Should I not make a move? I got a text the next day from her. Never said her name, but she knew it was her.
Yeah.
She's like,
Is there another girl that you're just sleeping on a very small couch with 3 weekends in a row?
The text basically said simply, you know I'm subscribed to your channel, ... And I was like, oh, snap, I completely forgot about this. So,
but
yeah.
That's not really the text that you wanted. You kind of wanted clarification.
I didn't even know. But once she said that, and then she called me up. And like once I responded back, she called and said, I totally apologize. No, it's good you never made a move because I didn't have those kind of feelings for you. Those weren't my intentions. I just was feeling lonely. I bought a new house. I was all alone and wanted somebody that I could trust over. So it was kind of like a relief off my chest.
Well,
yeah.
Because in that scenario, you know, the fact that you made a video where you were legitimately lost as to what you should do, she sees it and then it furthers the conversation,
yes.
Right? So mission accomplished.
Correct.
But you've got to have some examples of
success?
Well, hold on. Before we move to another story, I'm not done with this story.
Okay. All right.
Because, okay, I now understand what you said was I have to tone down my stories because you wouldn't believe the full truth.
Correct.
Because
they get really crazy.
I have a hard time believing the story you just told because I can't imagine that happening in like a human universe.
I say no to a lot of opportunities that they make movies about.
But why did she... It seems crazy to me that some girl said, will you come and sleep in my bed with me just because, but I'm not going to tell you why.
Yes.
But I don't expect anything to happen.
And not say anything. No explanation. No, can you come over? I'm lonely. Like anybody that gets that phone call or text, what are you thinking? You know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So girls can be confusing, but the more females I hang out with, the more I start to understand how to speak female.
And what are you learning about that?
I'm learning that if you're talking with a girl and she ever brings up any kind of sex references or anything like that, there's normally a chance that she's thinking about you more than just friends. If there's never any sexual talk or if she's talking about sexual stuff about other guys, friend zoned. And what I like to do, as soon as I sense that I'm about to be in the friend zone, I friend zone them before they can friend zone me. It works.
Preemptive.
Preemptive sometimes strike. They sense it, and then they want to take you out of the friend zone. It happens, man. We're funny creatures. Human beings want what we can't have.
The way that you talk, it's kind of like you're a psychologist, sociologist on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think my first impression was, okay, this guy's an animator. I know there's a video game thing mm-hmm, going mm-hmm. on. But then when I really dig into your channel, it's very much about using your life. I mean, you characterize your channel to us right. instead of me trying to figure it out. Do it.
Okay, well, it's just like, we have a voice on YouTube, and a lot of us that have over a few hundred thousand subscribers, we have a responsibility. So I look at it as I want to be the big brother to a lot of little kids. I want to be the guy, because we all represent something. This person represents white people. This person represents Jewish people. I represent black males. So I want to give guys a good name. I want to give black guys a good name. I want to give animators a good name. People that live in Florida, we all represent different things. So mm-hmm. when I approach my channel, it's yes, on the surface, there's animation. There's, he talks about girls. He talks about dates and relationships. But the more you dig deep, I want it to be like, if I put enough content and richness in here, there has replay value all up in it. So you go down deep enough, and yes, it's stories about my life, but there's messages in 90% plus of my videos. The next one coming up has no message. It's just me talking about my first hickey. No messages whatsoever. Girl, I don't even know her name, brought her back to my house and got a hickey. And I figure I got to keep you guys guessing. There's always a message. This time, there's no message.
Right. It's just a funny story.
Yes, correct.
Now, you've got a lot of stories from your past, like the whole working at Disney mm-hmm. type thing that you're gleaning and putting into your channel.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a pressure to kind of create stories in your life at this point?
As in, like, fabricate?
No, not okay. fabricate, but like,
as I'm living, like, I need to do it, act like this so I can have a YouTube video?
Like, because we do Good Mythical Morning every weekday, mm-hmm. and a lot of those are driven by our personal stories, mm-hmm. things that happen to mm-hmm. us, that there is this incentive on the weekend to, well, I should do something because that's going to lead to a story and I got to have something.
And our lives are, I would say, relatively boring when you take into account the
editing.
Fact that we're, well,
working all the time.
We're married with kids. And so it's like, it's not like we're at in some situation on the weekends.
Partying up in the club with Jay-Z.
Right. So, and in fact, I even remember just recently when we went 4x4ing in the mountains.
Valley.
I specifically remember when Nick asked you to drive. And I was like, I don't know if this is a good idea in real life.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? Link driving could lead to a really good mythical
mm-hmm,
morning.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a good idea. I specifically remember I was like, now my life is being impacted by maybe we should
your life choices.
We should make a more risky choice because it would lead to a better story.
I'm going to hop into bed with this girl and do nothing but face the wall because that is the best story. You know, so certainly not.
No,
I'm not harping on you fabricating stories, but in real
thinking
life,
about it in your head as it's happening in life, that actually happened a few weeks ago. I was going to keep this so under wraps, so I'll give you guys an exclusive, a very short. I went to get my car serviced, and as I was getting serviced, I still had stuff to do. And the guy really liked my videos. So he's like, dude, I trust you. I'll let you take this nameless, really expensive car out and do what you need to do. I'm on Turnpike. I'm driving. Da 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 da.
Hold on. What do you mean nameless car? You're not gonna name the car?
I can't. I don't want to seem like, oh, he's just bragging. Blah, blah, blah.
Well, but it's not your car,
right? It was a nice car, and I'd like to also Mystique. Mystique is a nice little plot device, so people can be like, well, what's that car?
I'm picturing that car.
I got
exactly.
The Lamborghini.
So it could be. It could be
Tesla.
Could be R8. There's a bunch of nice cars out there.
Just tell us the freaking car.
I gotta have you wondering that.
Okay.
The story's over. So I'm driving on Turnpike, and this real, I'm talking distractingly hot girl pulls up next to me and then zooms off. And I'm just like, I could keep driving at the speed limit, or I could chase her and a good story blog could come out of this.
That's what crossed your mind.
And I did it. I chased her.
Yeah, you did.
And some craziness went down afterwards. Then I'm going to make a video blog about it.
See?
So yes, things like that do happen.
Well, art imitating life, impacting
correct.
Art.
Well, but it's this interesting thing because, you know, there's so many different elements to this because you've got that, like, okay, how are my actions being changed by mm-hmm. how it's going to impact my material? But then you got to go back to what we were talking about a second ago, which is, the example of the girl in the three weekends and you know the friend zone thing, mm-hmm. it worked itself out because she saw the video. now that people who are in friendships or relationships with you,
correct,
they know that you're going to talk about it. Correct. It also changes the way that they interact with you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, have you seen that happen?
Yes. It's funny because I'll go on dates sometimes.
Kind of like a new form of gold digger?
Yeah. I mean, because the thing is, when we put stuff out there, I mean, I get really personal with my stories. So sometimes I forget all the stuff that I put out there. And I'll go on dates and girls will just list off everything that I love. And I'm just like, this is not good. Because one, I forgot that I put all this stuff out there. And two, it's like, they know. Like, if they act crazy enough, I'll talk about them in a video. So I'll hear that sometimes. Are you going to talk about me in your next video blog? I'm just like, is that why we're on this date? Or...
right. Yeah, it's crazy. And it's funny how, I mean, we've talked to people who have a lot, who vlog a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't, this is an interesting dynamic with you that I think that a lot of people just kind of talk about themselves personally, mm-hmm. maybe do some challenges, but because you have the advice angle and it involves your interactions and observations with other people, and I think it might be you've got more life experience than a lot of vloggers because mm-hmm. there's sort of this like 18 to 22 mm-hmm. year old mm-hmm. vlogger thing that's like a really popular thing.
And the substance, too, I think the substance is really there, and literally I think about... We have 16 seconds. Within the first 16 seconds, you have to say something mm-hmm. that's going to grab them. And when I go in here, it's just like, I think we have, again, back to the responsibility about these things. It's like you, there's so many negative or just not so great influences out there in the music, in TV, in movies, and all this stuff. All these, you know, ideas popping into our head. And I'm just like, you know, if I'm going to take my time to get out here and have a voice, I want it to be somewhat positive to where think about consequences. So when these three girls walk into your hallway and you, late at night and you walk out of your hotel room, they're like, hey, let's have a foursome. You start thinking, you know, consequences. So, I mean, that's a lot of the things I try to put into my videos, sometimes subliminally,
yeah.
sometimes overtones, sometimes undertones. So it's a strategy even with that because, I mean, I think if I can provide a voice, I want it to be somewhat positive to where, listen, all right, you're going to think about consequences. So when I get those emails, like, dude, I was left at my job and I was going to steal $100 out of the register. And then I remember that story where they accuse you of doing this and this and this and this. And I was like, see, those are the kind of stories that I love hearing because then I know it's affecting people. Because my friends in real life, I give them advice all the time. They come asking for it and they totally ignore it. So I feel like I just wasted an hour of that phone call, just this asshole basically coming for advice and then ignoring it. But when I jump on YouTube, I know somebody's going to benefit from that.
Hmm. But it's interesting to me that you want to make a positive impact, and it seems like you're a great guy as much as I'm getting to know you, and certainly I've gotten to know you through the videos, mm-hmm. that you want to do that. But so maybe a side effect of that is that that actually works on YouTube. One of the things that I think Rhett and I had extensive conversations about watching your vlogs that's impacted our content, Good Mythical Morning, is... You're very funny, mm-hmm. but it's almost like the sincerity quotient is a little higher. It's like the advice you give, it needs to actually be useful,
right.
and then you're going to deliver it in a funny way. I feel like you could, and that's what works on YouTube.
Observation, guys.
As opposed to, you could certainly, I get the impression, go the whole comedic route. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could go into stand-up comedy. You could say, I could tell the funniest story ever, mm-hmm. and it just be funny. And you do some of that.
Mm-hmm.
But we find it fascinating that when you get the sincerity right, that there's actually, you believe in what you're saying, and you're delivering something that's useful
mm-hmm.
and happen to make it entertaining, it just makes it more palatable. People have that desire for that thing that, I really want to know about the friend mm-hmm. zone. I really want to know about how to text.
Mm-hmm.
And Swoozie's funny in the way that he talks about it. It's not just, hey, you gotta watch this guy's funny videos because right. he's funny.
Well, right. Well, first, thank you guys for making that observation because literally, like, I try so hard to keep it invisible but at the same time in the foreground. Mm-hmm. And I wonder so many, like, hours I'm spending crafting this whole thing, like, are they getting it? Like, will people see what's really going on, mm-hmm. like, on layer four? So to hear you say that, like, that makes... It's like such a reward to hear you say what you just said. But yeah, man, it's like really, I care. At the end of the day, like the people that I've never met that subscribe, like I care so, I care if you get the girl. Like there's so many times that I've been like in a situation where I'm just crashing and burning with a female. And I learned so much because I mean, I was a lifeguard and I'm an animator. That's like a crazy combination, a very powerful observation mm-hmm. training. And that's like most of my life. I've been doing those two things. So it's like I observe even how I do things. Mm-hmm. And we're clingers sometimes. Guys are clingers, and we don't realize like that's pushing the girl away. So I want you to get the girl. I want the girl to get the guy. I want you to be as successful in life in general. So when I'm telling you these things, it's like I literally am trying to affect your life. It's not just, that's great, because I've had a YouTube video turn my life around, not life, turn my day around to where I was like really crappy mood, watch a video, laugh, that feeling in my chest. I want to give that to the viewer.
But it also works better on YouTube that it is useful and not just funny.
Correct.
So we observe that. And then when you say, I want the guy to get the girl kind of thing, I also get the impression that you're saying, I want the guy to get laid. I don't think that's what you're saying.
No.
It's you want to, you're kind of giving relationship advice. Yes. You want them to have a successful relationship. Long term, you're talking about consequences. You're talking about, you know,
because you look at it like this.
Dr. Phil type stuff.
Let's pretend the three of us just run down this hall and for whatever reason, we have to call 911. Now, our actions between the time that call is made up until the time the cops get here will decide whether they're coming to save us or to take us away. Mm-hmm. Plain and simple. Just off of the actions that we've just done in those 5 to 10 minutes.
Right.
So it's like I want people to kind of get into that mindset because we don't act unless we think about it, unless it's reflexive. Like if I hit you on the knee and your leg kicks out, that's reflexive. You have no control over that. But pretty much everything else that we do, we have control over. And there's 1,000 decisions that we make from the time we roll out of bed and both those feet hit that ground. There's thousands of decisions that we have to make from that time to when we get back into bed.
Okay.
Well, we want to get, you know, I want to find out what made you into the guy that you are today that has this perspective. Ooh. So, and I know you've lived a lot of life, and you also laid out a lot of what you've experienced in your Draw My Life video, so people can kind of get more details there too. But tell us about growing up.
I was in Trinidad. We got robbed, and it wasn't so bad getting robbed because, you know, Trinidad in parts we have bad parts like everywhere else. But it was just, you know, people jumping our fence and picking our mangoes, you know, off the tree. But then when I'm waking up in the middle of the night and seeing random strangers going through my drawers, that's when we had to leave the island. And I've been in Orlando ever since.
So you like rolled over? Give me the details.
I don't know how I woke up, but I remember opening my eyes and I saw two guys that I knew I didn't know going through my stuff. And it's just like, okay, bro, you're just going to find underwear in there. So I'm not too concerned, but please don't stab me in my sleep. Like that's like the first memory I can remember going back my entire life was opening my
eyes. Pretty traumatic.
Yeah. And my thing was, as a kid, I remember thinking, if I scream, he might kill me. If I go to sleep, he might kill me. But I'm going to go with option two kind of thing. I don't know how much that's affected
me. You played possum.
Yeah, pretty much. I think that made me a little paranoid because now, like, I honestly, when I buy a TV, I chop up that box into little pieces because I don't want it to sit by the end of my road because all my neighbors now know that I have a 42-inch Samsung in my house. So that might be a long-term effect, but I think what's really gotten me into the person that I am today was I think a lot. Like when I'm in the shower, when I'm on long road trips, I think it's something's always going on up there. And girls like to hurt me. People like to take advantage of me. And it's just like, I really wish there was some way to stop this. Like, can I at least like pull it back to where it doesn't hurt as bad? Like, can I be colder? Like, what can I do? So I remember there's this point in life, like I just wanted to like end it all. And I think it was some girl, my first girl, I love at first sight. I made a video about this, suicidal thoughts. Mm. And I remember getting so heartbroken
when was this?
I was 18.
Okay.
So real head over heels in love with this girl. And she was like, you know what? I'm tired of you. By the way, I've been dating Hector for the last month.
Hector.
Devastated. And
his name was Hector.
His name was Hector.
Dang.
And the last thing I remember was going home and grabbing my dad's gun. And
really?
I just rage blacked out. And I woke up the next morning like, I think I was staring down the barrel of that gun.
But you weren't going to shoot Hector.
No. I don't know why. I should have been thinking about him. But yeah, and it was
you,
just like...
I mean, you blacked out, but you were going to shoot yourself?
Probably. I those were the thoughts in my head. Like, you know what? What's the point of going on? I hurt so much right now. What's the point of going on? And I remember thinking, like, you know what? There's so much more to be happy about. Like, there's people that would kill to be in my situation right now that don't have food, that don't have shelter, that don't have a lot of things. So I think that was, like, a turning point in my life to where it's, like, thinking, like, in my own head, you know what? No. I would have shot myself over some girl. And there's millions of those out there. So literally it was just like, you know what, I can be a better person. I think that was like one of the turning points in my life, and thank God it happened at that point as opposed to later on, because I have heard stories of friends who are cops who have seen suicides or walked onto the scene of suicides over some girl. So
right.
I think that's probably like the pinnacle moment in my life where it was like, I can be a better person, and I'm gonna actually every day get on that journey of being a better person.
And was it about becoming better at relationships? I know that from
general, everything, better at, same thing, like better black person, a better lifeguard, a better person at work. Like no matter what job I have, I want to be the best, not in competition with you or any coworker, but I want to be the best at myself. So I can't, like, I pretend I have a twin sometimes, even when I'm working on videos. All right, I know he's going to work on a video about Disney. I'm going to work on a video about Disney. I'm going to pretend I've seen his script. So I'll look at a finished script and be like, okay, I have to outdo this now. So I'm in competition with myself on pretty much everything I do just to be the best version. For, to go back to girls, a lot of my female friends' boyfriends do not like me, because when I take that girl out, I'm happy that you're spending time with me. I have flaky friends. A lot of us have flaky friends who just ditch on us, who bail on us, and they're unreliable. You're giving me your time. I'm going to make sure we go out to Chili's and you don't spend a dime. When we go out, I make sure you have the best possible time. I spend a lot of time taking notes on this stuff. And then...
And you had a lot of trouble. I mean, from your Draw My Life video, you had a lot of trouble fitting in as a kid. It seemed like you moved to different schools and you were always the outcast.
Yeah, we're like socially a little bit awkward. And I think that's how we fit so well on YouTube, because there's a lot of socially awkward kids who really don't have a voice. So when they come across our channel, like, this guy is awkward just like me. So I think that's also part of it too. But
but the girl who dumped you when you were 18, that may have been a particularly low point. But I get the impression that there were lots of low points relationally for you, that you weren't some player who was like, oh, I got this figured out. I'm just going to tell you about it. You're kind of having gone through the fire, so to speak, seem to be speaking from that.
Because I wish sometimes, like literally sometimes when I'm thinking about what video or topic to talk about next or what to put in a video, I think I wish I had somebody around me that had knowledge, like a big brother, to say X. So when I'm going through it, boom, he just said this. So if I'm bumping my head, like, bro, my big brother just told me not to do this. And I have cousins who, they don't have the same morals that I do. They don't say no a lot. And they've gone through hundreds of female interactions. And some of the stuff that these guys say blow my mind, but they're absolutely right. And I take that and kind of mesh it into, I apply it to see if it works. And 9 times out of 10, it does. And then I kind of share it with some of the YouTube audience, because those guys are players. Those guys, hands down, like, they will walk into a club.
Who are players?
My cousins.
Okay.
And, I mean, we all have the same kind of facial features, so we all look like different versions of the same guy. And they'll walk into a club, and they'll find the hottest girl. Another little tip here for you guys, exclusive. They'll find the hottest girl in the club. Like, I want to take her home. But they'll stand back the whole night and watch every guy in the club make a pass at her. And then they'll intentionally go by, brush up against the girl. I'm like, oh, sorry. She's like, oh. When she makes that reaction, he's like, babe, relax. You're a 5 at best. And they say at that point, they either get punched or slapped or cursed out. But by the end of the night, they get the girl's number. And it's totally a move. And these are the kind of guys that I'm talking to. And it's just like, they know their stuff, man. It's like, any girl, like, you're a 5 at best. And that girl's like, oh, I spent an hour on this eyeliner and concealer. Da-da-da-da. So they think in their head. So other guys are coming with the same approach. Like, oh my God, you're so hot. Let me buy you a drink. Da-da-da-da-da. There's other guys, you're a 5 at best. Relax.
Wow.
Have you tried? And so you've tried this.
A variation. Tough love is kind of how I do it. Like, yeah, I put it in one of the texting videos, how to text a girl, I believe. And when you meet that girl, you can't blow her, because inside we want to be like, oh my God, thank you so much for spending the time, taking me out, da-da-da-da-da. And we want to do that when we get home, but don't do that, because every guy does that. So kind of like, I take what my cousin said, and basically he's like, every guy treats a girl like this in the club, you be that one guy that doesn't treat her like that. So I'll take that and kind of translate it into, every guy texts like this, you be that one guy that stands out and doesn't text like that.
If we're to go back to your Draw My Life, which was great. It was very insightful. It's like a cheat sheet for ear biscuits. Dude, I loved it.
It crashed twice. I had to start from the beginning. It was...
Oh, really?
Oh, but go on.
One of the things I wanted to ask you about was, at one point you go into an analogy, I think when you're talking
airplanes.
About going from public school to private school to public school, and you give
there was there was a girl that you met that said something that made you think about something. And that
the airplane analogy.
Use the airplane analogy.
Yes,
so
and for those of you who haven't seen The Draw of My Life, basically she was saying, we had a conversation about God, and I love those kind of deep conversations where you don't end up talking like this, you know, when you're arguing. And she was like, there's no reason that an airplane should fly, but you make this rule and you make this rule and you make this rule, and then the impossible happens. Like, you curve the wing here and you curve this metal here because it's like 2 tons of like weight flying through the air at 500 miles an hour. And she was like, same way with life. Like, if there's no reason a plane should be able to fly, but in life, there's no reason you should be able to do X, Y, Z. But if you do this and this and this and this, you can do the impossible. And I was like, holy crap. Like, the gif of the guy going and his brain's being blown. So yeah, that stuck with me for a long time.
And so what was your application of that?
Just in life, it's like, okay, so for example, when people come at you like really mad, normally we want to respond really mad back. So sometimes it's like, you can't always do what your impulse is to do. So that's kind of one of the things, I mean, off the top of my head, you guys put me on the spot with this one. I wasn't expecting that. But yeah, in life, it's like not always doing what you want to do. Like, when a girl breaks your heart and is talking trash about you behind your back, like, you want to get back at her and do this. But you know what? I'm going to be the adult here and act like that, because people get really bitter. I don't know if you guys have ever been through really bad breakups, but or how you handle them. But it's always best to be the adult no matter what goes down. And I think that's part of the thing, is like really thinking your thoughts through to conclusions. Because I love this girl. I'm going to move in with her. Yeah. And then we're going to do this and we're going to do that. And then you realize, like, yo, this girl is psychotic. But you ignored all the signs. So thinking your thoughts through before you actually act on them.
So I felt like, in trying to like decipher the plane analogy, mm-hmm. I know that you were kind of talking about being in a private school. I guess it was a Christian school. You were mm-hmm. talking about the Bible and mm-hmm. like talking about beliefs. I thought you were making a connection to kind of making a religious realization.
There's different kind of ways you can go about it. Because, I mean, let's look at it like this, too. I give 10% of everything I get off of YouTube to my church. And my family hates that. They're just like, you're an idiot. Like, you're giving all this money to your church? I'm just like, guys, well, I remember if you look at it, they say, okay, well, there's stuff that they talk about in the Bible. If you want to see if it's true or not, there's a lot of stuff you can apply and test. So I'm like, if I give 10% of my earnings, they say it's like planting a seed. And that plant will plant 10 more seeds. And those 10 seeds will plant 10. And
So basically, at a certain point in your life, I guess you were at a school mm-hmm. where you were taught Christian faith.
It was like Baptist.
Okay. And so, but you were learning to test that for yourself to determine if it was true.
There was one question, and a lot of the questions that I had for the teachers, they could never answer. So that was one thing I was not a huge fan of. Mm. And my grandfather is a pastor of a church. And let's just say I'll run you guys really fast backwards. He cheated on my grandmother with his secretary, who is younger than my mom. He's a pastor of the church. And I have an uncle who's 3 years younger than me. Mm. So you guys can rewind the podcast and put that all together.
Yeah.
And like, for the longest, he was the beacon of hope in my family. And I'm just like,
he represented Christian faith, and yet he's running
doing
around
all this. And a lot of the congregation like really didn't know exactly the whole story.
Hooking up with somebody, a secretary younger than his daughter.
And you're married doing all this.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So it's just like, really, bro? I'm not going to be like that guy. Mm-hmm. No way. And I think a lot of people that really have or approach faith in a certain kind of mentality have had examples like that in their life. But let's pretend that when we do die, we have to answer to God or somebody. I don't want to be like, you know what? I didn't follow you because of that guy. And I didn't think that was a good enough excuse. So it's like, all right, let me start testing some of this stuff. So even going back to the giving the 10% and the planning and plan, I really didn't have money to be giving 10% when I was working as a lifeguard, but I'm going to do it anyway. And now just through YouTube, you know, following the whole plant the seed, I'm making what I made a year every 20 days now, whether it be YouTube, whether it be whatever, sponsored videos. I make off of one sponsored video from YouTube, I get what I would have got as a lifeguard working for 3 years on one sponsored video that's 3 minutes long. So it's just like, again, I test, like if I tell you guys right now, all right, you guys rented a car, it's outside and all the tires are slashed. How would you test to see if what I'm saying is true?
You drive it.
Exactly. Or you at least go look out the window.
I'd probably just look at it.
Exactly. You're going to go and test it. It's not just hear it and be like, that's wrong. Because the next question is, how do you tell if what somebody's telling you is truth or false? It's like sometimes people are really convincing, you know? But we can't just go off of, you know what? I think Hondas are crap. I'm not going to drive them. Let me go give it a test drive. That's kind of how I approach things. Not just, that Honda's crap, I'm done kind of thing. Even though, you know, there's plenty of examples of how we can look at things like, I don't even want to go. I'll stop there because you guys will get me on a rant and I won't be able to stop. But go on, go on.
You can rant.
No, it's just I've always been the kind of person that I want to test. I want to see if what's going on is true because we have to answer for our actions. We have to answer for the things we say and sometimes what we think. So what we think normally translates to how we act and, you know, things along those lines. So I just, want to make sure to be the best possible version of myself that I possibly can be. And I can challenge at least people through my videos to do that or be that.
I find it interesting that the test for your faith in the face of what happened with your grandfather was a financial test.
One of many.
One of many?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's just like, because at the same time, too, if you look at the good book, there are guys who are like trying to do right and they're having really crappy lives. And it's just like, I shouldn't have to test this to be like, all right, if I have a good life, I'm doing it right. If I have a bad life, I'm doing it wrong. There should be something in there to where it's almost like if my hand is like rotting, like gangrene and everything, but I'm telling Rhett and Link, like, guys, my arm is fine. You guys can look at my arm and be like, yo, your arm is not okay, bro. I could smell it, you know? So it's kind of like applying things like that to my life to where, yes, bad things are going to happen to me. My mom's going to die. My dad's going to die. No matter how good of a person I am, bad things are going to happen. So not use that as my scale. But at the same time, if I do good things will come back to me in kind of like a weird karma, but, you know, circle of life, Lion King reference kind of thing.
Well, it seems like you are very much... you value experience.
Yes.
Because when you say test, you're what you're really saying is like trying something. You know, you implement something and you see if it works. And you do that in your life. And then when it works for but it also it moves beyond things like, you know, morality, but it moves into the mechanics of dating.
Right.
You know, the mechanics of friendships and relationships. And then you try something, you learn something, and then you turn it around and put it back into a video. I don't know if there's a question there. It's really just an observation. It's something that's kind of coming together right now. I just find it interesting that you're so focused on the experience and then you bring that to YouTube. And I really honestly cannot think of someone else who's doing it in the same way.
And I was actually looking at that too. Like before I started out on the YouTube thing, my 3Gs, my 3G network, God, gaming, and girls. So if you look at all my videos, they all touch on at least one or all three of those topics. So I wanted to make sure I stayed on path to where if I do one day blow up and have a lot of money and, you know, people working for me, I still have that kind of 3G network to kind of keep me balanced because at the same time, I don't want to be all over the place. But at the same time too, like even with you guys, we get pressured to, we get a viral video. People want to see that all the time. So it's just kind of like, I looked at it as give the people what they want to see, whether they know they want to see it or not. And a lot of times, it's a lot of reading of the comments, a lot of listening to what people say, how do they react to certain videos. And my dad told me when I had about 10,000 subscribers, he was just like, which kind of videos do people react to the most? And I told him my story ones. So he's like, okay, well, keep doing that. And his other thing that he was saying too was get the female demographic. No matter what you do, get the females, because when you walk into a girl's room and her room is covered from head to toe in One Direction and Justin Bieber, that's normal. But you're not going to find a lot of 13-year-old guys with their room covered from head to toe in any kind of thing. They're very fanatical. So he's like, get those girls and talk about stories, and that's your perfect storm right there.
This is your dad giving you advice.
And the thing was, he was the biggest hater out of everybody around me. He was like, it's not going to work. Anything I wanted to do throughout my entire life, he was the one that was like, what do you want to do? Oh, you want to be a screenwriter? Not going to work. You have to go to school for like 16 years to do that. Anything. And he'd constantly ask. And I was like, that whole idea, don't let somebody else tell you what you can and can't do, because I started hearing his voice as my internal dialogue. Like, I want to, but yeah, I can't. And it was like, no, I'm not going to let them put their limitations on me. I know what my limitations are. I'm going to try to exceed all of them. So now, I mean, I'm making more than both my parents combined from my bedroom. They have to wake up at 6 o'clock every morning, and they're probably going to hear this podcast. So But yeah, and that's the situation where it's at right now. I mean, and people through my life have been like hating. I mean, the friends and family, those are the ones that were not really the biggest supporters, but they've slowly started to come around now.
So do you have a gaming channel though?
Yes, with Michelle Phan. I had 30,000 subscribers. I met Michelle Phan through a mutual friend, and she loves video games, but she can never really talk about it on her beauty channel.
Right.
So we met at a party one time in LA.
And this is way back,
too. This is 2010.
Oh, okay.
And she was like, let's just start a channel together. And it blew up both of our channels. Like, a lot of the guys that, I mean, even though I only had 30,000 subscribers, like, it was a trending thing on Twitter, on YouTube for a good amount of days. So she got a lot of traffic. Hmm. I got a lot of traffic. And it became really hard to keep running press start really quickly. So we kind of just left it because at the time, nobody was doing Let's Plays. Nobody was doing, I mean, nobody with over 10,000 subscribers.
Yeah.
So we had to jump through so many hurdles to get like gameplay up on the screen.
You're talking licensing.
Yeah. Like literally we had to have permission slips. Like it's not like it is now. You just join a network and boom, you're good to go. Back then I had to like, I had friends at Capcom. I had friends dead or alive. I had friends in all the gaming circles. So I'd be like, hey, can we have permission to play Halo? Da, da, da. Yeah. I just need you to sign off on this. Boom. And YouTube wanted us to submit videos weeks in advance before we could upload.
Really?
Yeah. They had,
because you were trying to do it by the book, and there were people who were starting to just do it, or at least later they started to do it.
You know, low number count of views. Like this was before PewDiePie. Like PewDiePie and I started our channels at the same time, and then the gaming stuff was just too hard to maintain in, you know, conjunction with our own personal channels.
With the way that you were doing it,
correct,
by the book,
I was not getting sleep. It was so bad. Like, and with the press start, we had every Friday was our day.
And so now, but so now you don't do it.
Now, yeah, now it's just like, look at it as a bonus level. Like you're playing Legend of Zelda and you have a bonus mission. Look at press start as that is kind of how we put it to where it was.
But with the success of it, why aren't you saying, I'm going back into this? I mean,
I want to at times, but at the same time, I feel so driven to keep doing the Suzy channel because I've had ideas for a very long time, but I didn't want to put them out there because I felt like, there's not enough eyes here. If I'm going to spend a week editing this and only 10,000 people see it, nah, it's not worth it. But now, like, as an artist, the only thing you really want, well, the first big thing is an audience. Mm. And now I have that. So it's like I feel so driven to the point to where I don't get much sleep because I'm still thinking like, okay, I need to put something out for these guys. So
what if you got a guy like Toby Turner who is, you know, becomes so popular for his comedy videos and then all of a sudden he starts Toby Games and that moves up into the top 10, 10 or whatever. I mean, this trend even has guys like us
thinking about,
you know, I doubt we'll ever do it because it would be so off brand, but I'm saying like it has that gaming,
it's pulled.
It
pull
has
is
such
there.
A great pull because it seems like, oh man, it's just this easy view you can get, which leads to easy money, right?
I know a guy making six figures a month on YouTube. I mean, I'm sure you guys, it's not crazy to you guys, but the listeners, like six figures playing video games?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
From your bedroom?
Well, listen, we're not going to tell you how to run your business, but it is curious that someone who is such a great fit, you only have so many hours in the day. I certainly don't want to see a decrease in the Swoozy channel with what you got going on there. So
it's
unique.
It's tough, man. A lot of my creative juices go into that. Like, you guys should see, like, my little editing room. I have, like, dry erase boards over here and another wall just for, you know, dialogue to put in videos. So there's, like, a mad scientist room where this video next, then that video, and this video, and then all these other like dialogues and one and phrases over here. So, I mean, it's literally, I feel like I was put on this earth to entertain. Mm-hmm. Like, I literally felt that for a very long time. So, YouTube was never in the equation, but I kept putting energy into it because I looked at it as I can keep working on my craft because I want to do film. I want to do editing. And a lot of us in YouTube, we all want to do that big picture thing, and that's why we do YouTube. But dude, it's the best job I've ever had in my entire life that I couldn't even
It is pretty
fathom.
Great. Now, before we started recording, when we were just kind of getting settled, we were talking about the Howard Stern nature of, well, that's what you said. You're
right.
Like, I was like, well, this is going to be, I would say it's going to be an hour of us just talking about you. You were like, okay, get Howard Stern on you. It's like, okay. And you're like, well, I'll talk about anything. I'm a book waiting to be opened.
Correct.
And then you said, except for two things.
Uh-huh.
And now I'm like, oh, gosh.
We're coming to the end. Did I even get close to them?
What are the two things?
That mystique, bro. I got to keep you guys in suspense.
Oh, so he just said two things. I was in the bathroom at that point.
Yeah,
I think.
You were in the bathroom.
It's funny. I remember.
Give me half of one thing, because I'm talking. Okay, we got a little bit on religion. We got a lot on relationships. Mm-hmm. And then what's the other one? Politics.
I don't honestly, bro. I don't follow too much politics.
Okay, so it's not that. I mean, we can play the guessing game, right? Or we can just get real.
We can get real. The thing too is, I remember one time, just to quickly touch on what you were talking about. Sex ed class in fifth grade. The teacher walks in. He was like, "There's one question that somebody's going to ask in here. I'm wondering who it's going to be." Okay, so this is a penis, and here's what's going to happen. And I'm just like, holy crap, what's that one question? So we're in the class for like 30 minutes, and then I'm like, is he going to even tell us if we ask that question? And some kid was like, "So I have a question, teacher. How do you make twins?" And he answers the question, and he goes, "By the way, that was the question."
What?
And I was like, awesome. It sucks that it wasn't me, but I'm so happy now that I know. But.
And actually, that's not a great question, because I really don't how to make twins.
Like, you do it twice.
In close proximity.
I've always wanted to be a twin. I don't know about you guys.
Well,
so much so
that you've created an imaginary twin that you compete against.
That video. Okay, very good.
I will say, in biology class, we had a substitute one day, and I just thought it would be better to ask the substitute, because she wouldn't be back the next day, and she was subbing in biology, so she should know a little
mindset,
something.
By the way,
it's like I don't have accountability. I don't have to ask this awkward question and then see this woman.
What
the
class
rest
was
of the
this?
Year. Miss Lee,
it was
biology.
Vicky Lee's biology. Class.
Miss Lee was out. Woman comes in.
You guys had the same class?
Oh yeah, we've known each other since.
Oh, I know that. Yeah. Since like little.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember me asking the question, but I asked, "Do you?" And you can read what you want into this question, but my question to her was, "Do you have a set amount of sperm, or are you constantly producing sperm?" And I don't mean you, teacher, who's a female. I mean me. Like, does a man have a set number of sperm? Or is it?
And what's she saying?
You asked this in front of the whole class?
Yeah, and she said,
I can't believe I don't remember this.
This is a public school, right?
I don't think she knew.
You're afraid you're going to run out.
Yeah. I was afraid that I was afraid that I was going to run out before I got, you know,
to that point, to go time.
Yeah. Yeah.
To when it really counted.
And she was like, I think you're constantly producing it.
Mm-hmm.
But I was just so concerned that I had to ask.
Have you guys ever had a distractingly hot teacher?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
What did you
Kelly
get in that
Smith,
class?
Freshman English.
That's freshman in high school or freshman in college?
High school.
Oh, you know the lady she's talking about?
So I was in the same class.
Oh, like what did you guys get in that class, grade-wise?
I got a boner in that class.
A? You got a B for boner? And that's not that distracting. I mean, I had a teacher one time. I failed. Because every time I was emailing her.
Dude, I wanted to impress, man, because that was my application. My application was,
she loves English, I love English.
It's like, I'm going to make her think I am the smartest kid in here.
Oh, man.
So I opened up. We kind of changed the subject a little bit. Mm-hmm. I opened up a little bit. I asked an awkward question in biology class, which I just told you.
Mm-hmm. You need me to open up? For all you know, I might not have two things.
Oh, you might just invent that.
I might have just said it.
You're just toying with my brain.
You never know.
Please
bro.
Tell me it's
layers,
no.
Bro. Layers.
Let me ask it this way.
Okay.
Your charisma is infectious.
Mm-hmm, thanks,
You know, you are a gifted entertainer. I can see this.
Thank
I'm buttering you up. But all of this is true. There's, you know, everyone in their life goes through the dark times, mm-hmm. you know, and are formed by that. I know mm-hmm. that relationally there's those things. Mm-hmm. Is there something else there formative that...
As in like a negative kind of thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I never drank ever up until like 2 years ago.
Okay.
And the battle for me a lot of times is... All right, I try to be a good person, but at the same time, I don't want to live my life like trying to ride this straight line to where I miss out on everything. And I remember the first time that I drank. I have never been drunk. That I'm not trying to get to. Hugging a toilet and vomiting all night, not trying to get there. Is this going along the lines of what you were just asking me?
Sure. I'm hooked.
Yes.
I'm hooked.
And we're gaming convention.
Yeah.
I think it might have been PAX or something like that. And then afterwards, there was this really cute Guitar Hero Asian girl. And she was just like, I'm going to buy you a shot. And I just said, yes. And I don't know why, like literally the needle scratched on the club and everybody turned around like, what? Like five shots just showed up on my in my table. And I'm like, I'm going to take three of these and then I'm done. And I took those shots and I was sitting there like, why do people keep talking about drinking? Like, this is disgusting. One, I feel like I just drank death. And it's really not a big deal. So then my boy was like, all right, are you ready to go? And I go, yes. And the whole room said, and then every girl in that bar looked like a supermodel. And I'm like, get me the heck out of here right now. And I drink on special occasions. And then usually I stop at three shots. And the drink is normally Patron that I mess with. This is information I've never put out there, guys, by the way.
Yeah.
But you turn the page and you want it to know. And sometimes I wonder, like last night, there was a party here.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't drink a drop. And I was really bored. And I'm like, is this because I wasn't having a good time? Or is this because I didn't have a drop of alcohol? So things like that, I really try to like analyze now. But at the same time, too, like in the Christian faith, you're not supposed to touch alcohol.
Well, you said Baptist, right?
Yes.
I think specifically Baptist, okay. There's this
stigma with the whole...
You can't drink at right. all. Mm. Like we went to a Baptist church at a young age, mm-hmm. and then kind of switched out of that. But it was, so that was something that we saw was a difference in like the Baptist. So, I mean, you said that you had the three G's, God mm-hmm. being the first one. So you seem to be a devout mm-hmm. Christian.
I don't want to end up like my grandfather. I mean, I'm sure it wasn't like one day he was awesome and the next day he's sleeping with multiple girls. I'm sure it was this gradual kind of progression into that. So I try to make sure to pay attention to a lot of my actions and things that I do, because when I tell you guys a story, it can get interpreted a bunch of different ways. So I really try to, you know, kind of bottleneck it to where a good storyteller can control the audience. If he wants you to not like a character, boom. Mm-hmm. If he wants you to like a character, boom. So I even try to put that in a lot of the things I talk about. But at the same time, I want you guys to get the real me. And with 2 million subscribers, you're going to have some people that you offend when you talk about alcohol or when you talk about all these different topics. Or I made out with a girl and I didn't even know her name. You're going to, like, you're a bad influence for my kids and da-da-da-da-da. But at the same time, too, you can't keep coming at them just knocking on their door. Hey, let's talk about this. You can't come at them the same way. This is 2014. So essentially, like, I'm really trying to get to your kids and give them a positive message, but not the same way they've got it 100 times before. So right now, I'm really thinking about just even my own actions, even up until this day. Like, me drinking, okay, well, there's about 100 people at that party. They probably saw me, this and this and this, that and that and that. So right now, I really try to make sure that my actions line up with my words. So mm-hmm. there's never a gradual kind of thing that goes into that. And I will also say on this podcast is, I think I have a really addictive personality. So the things that I like, I do a lot.
Right.
And I know me. So that's why I normally only stick to Patron, because I hate that stuff. If I found an alcohol that I liked, I'd be in trouble. Let me tell you guys that right now. So with video games, I think even with editing, like, I can spend 18 hours editing because I have an addictive personality. I get into this and do it.
You gotta get lost in it.
Correct.
When you're trying to juxtapose or have this, you know, you've got God as a priority, you got mm-hmm. girls as a priority, mm-hmm. and you want to be an influence. Mm-hmm. But yet, you know, when you're talking about these two worlds, mm-hmm. there seems to be a clash of
correct.
Worlds there.
Correct.
You're talking about, well, I want to be very devout, mm-hmm. But I want to get the girl.
Mm-hmm.
So how did I get? Is that where you end up sleeping with a girl and literally just sleeping with her?
I've never had sex. I'm a virgin, so that's another thing too. Waiting for marriage. And that often, I think my friends tell me this is why the
girls. Do your fans already know that?
Yes. And I think a lot of my friends tell me that girls end up cheating on me is because, you know, we're getting all romantical, da 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 da. I always work them up, and then they run off with this other guy because they're all wound up and they need to, you know, get their fix, because most of the girls I get with aren't virgins. So now they know what they're missing. And what I find very interesting is after they get with that next guy and we're done, they come crawling back like, okay. Because the thing is, in foreplay, they're so sucking toes. Like, not to say that I do or don't, because I write that line in my videos. I mention it a lot, but I never say if I do or don't.
Toe fetish.
You talk about sucking toes a lot?
Yes. I throw it out there, and the comments go crazy. Like, do you or don't you suck toes? But I throw it out there, and say, like, knee pits. I never said that. This is a really good podcast, guys. Let me tell you, like, this is probably the best podcast/interview I've had ever.
So, that's a great endorsement.
The knee pit, all right?
Oh, yeah. You like the knee pit.
Here's the knee, and the part behind the knee is the knee pit. When you lick that, guys, there's some girls that will go crazy, but there's so many guys that are so anxious to just finish the fight, get to that, you know, that end point, the you know, game time.
Another pit.
Right. That they miss that whole, there's so many floors to foreplay that they miss. So when the girl runs off with another guy, and he's not concerned about your toes, your knee pit, your neck, your ear. He's not concerned about any of that other stuff.
What about the armpit?
Nah, I'd never mess with the armpit.
Yeah, that, stay away from that.
I draw my line somewhere. Yeah. Yeah, and then they experience that. They get what they think they want. Then it's just like, man, Adonde really showed my body a lot of attention. Like, I will massage you for an hour. Like, I go, it's a two-part play. Like, literally, like, I am one person on the stage, and you're the next person on the stage, and usually the bed is the stage, you know, and we're just kind of, you know, is it thespians? That's the right word, right?
Yeah, like an actor?
Yeah. We're thespians on this stage, and I want to make sure to give the best performance every single time.
And if the actors are both women, then and, it's lesbians.
Lesbians. But yeah, so I mean, and I think a lot of guys don't put that attention into it. So that's where they normally come crawling back like, I'm so sorry, I didn't mean to lie to you for those months and then cheat on you and then lie some more. Can you please take me back? I think there's
and
a lot
lick
of that.
The back of my knee.
And that's basically what they're saying. But at the same time, like, again, people will hear this and be like, this swoozy guy, he is so into himself. But at the same time, like, that's just what it is. So I really think about the...
When you've limited yourself to not going all the way, then you've got to
occupy
yourself.
You go a lot of places.
I try to work out, too, because if I keep just the stage, I'm doing a bad thing. Like, when we're acting, I want to run out into the audience. So, I mean, I literally... The creativity doesn't stop just at YouTube. I'll just say that.
Now, one of the things, kind of reading between the lines here, is that you talk about multiple girls when it comes to your videos, and you're kind of talking about girls...
Plural
in general. Mm-hmm. So, is there a special someone...
No.
At the moment, and why not?
I think I haven't found Mrs. Wright yet. And the problem, it's a good problem to have, is I have a lot of hot friends. A lot. And then YouTube is only making that good problem worse. Because, again, now with talking about stages, YouTube becomes a stage and the world can see it. So, I mean, I have girls from Norway and USSR and Australia. And Australia has some amazingly hot girls. And I mean, now with Skype being a thing and Kick being a thing and WhatsApp, literally, well, you know, college in 1980 is not college in 2014. Like, I could be hollering at a girl in Norway. Like, any girl becomes like, it's a buffet. So not to say that that's how I kind of look at it, but girls approach you when you're on YouTube.
And they send you pictures.
They ask because they know what I'm about on YouTube. They ask like, hey, what kind of pictures can I send you? And especially now with, you know, Snapchat being what it is, they know that I try to run the straight arrow. So they ask, like, can I send you some maybe MA or NC-17? I'm like, let's keep them PG-13. Because you just never know. Like, one of my biggest fears, gosh, you guys are getting so much out of me right now. One of my biggest fears, but I'm going to let you know this. I'm putting it out there because I'm aware of it, is that there's going to be a underground YouTube channel who gets girls, casts them, and then goes after YouTubers then exposes the entire process.
We should produce this channel.
You can have it, bro.
It sounds kind of sleazy. Can you explain it?
We'll produce it under our underground brand.
So
what will they
on
do?
On the dark web.
So we'll have a girl, and she'll be like a 10. And I'll be like, okay, who's our topic here? We got to knock out 10 YouTubers. We got to knock them out fast because they're going to talk. So let's look at PewDiePie, Toby, Swoozy, and I don't know, Daystorm.
And then she documents the whole process.
Correct.
You know,
but not just she. All of us are behind the phone, literally like a production.
Yeah.
So we'll start with a simple text or a simple Facebook, because there are some guys out there who just like literally don't answer emails unless you're hot. So we'll just send that hot one out there and be like, da, 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 da. Oh, we got a bite. We got a nibble. Okay, so he sent this. And it's all documented.
So it's like To Catch a YouTuber.
Yes.
Ooh.
And who has a boy? Who has a girlfriend?
We could get Chris Hansen to host
see
the whole
what I'm
channel.
Saying?
That's
see what
that's
I'm saying?
Not a, Swoozy will host and we'll produce.
But at the same time, like, you would get these guys really bad / good. And I think about that.
Or yourself. I think you're saying maybe
you
worry
that might happen
for yourself.
Yes, I worry that's going to happen to me. So when I get these emails from these tens, I'm like, Rhett and Link could be behind that camera. Wait, it's like, that's what I think sometimes. Like, even all my interactions, a lot of times I use my cousin's advice. When the hot girl's like, oh my gosh, you're so great, I just say, thanks, send. Because any other guy, when they see that email, like, oh my God, how did you find my videos? And just go crazy on them. Yeah. I'm just like, you know what? Thanks. I just sometimes ask, because, you know, I try to interact with guys and girls.
Right.
But you look, you had something you wanted to say.
No, I think it, to me, it's full circle with you talking about consequences. Mm-hmm. I think for yourself, you know that you're in a position.
Correct.
With the type of content, relationship content that you put out there, that there's women who are approaching you. There's mm-hmm. actually a couple of things at work here. Mm-hmm. I think you sense that. You're kind of, you've set a high standard for yourself mm-hmm. that's almost a dare for girls to say, correct. If I can get swoozy,
correct.
He's a virgin.
Mm-hmm. I want to be that one. I've had girls spreading rumors that they've had sex with me and that never happened.
Hmm.
Like, that's a thing now. It's like, are you kidding? This is like, this is my life.
Yeah.
So again, a story for a movie where the girl is lying about the guy having sex and he won't. This is my life.
And right. I think the second part, full circle, mm-hmm. is... You're putting into practice what you're saying about consequences. Correct. You're talking about Rhett Link maybe behind this text from a mm-hmm. 10 for some MA mm-hmm. pictures. Mm-hmm. You know, it's what are the consequences, worst correct. Case scenario
correct.
Here?
Correct. So, I mean, I've had, when I worked with DirecTV, I've had those producers, like those guys, help me and mentored me a lot. And they told me, like, from Jump Street 2007, like, Swoozie, you're going to be big. Like, we don't know what you have planned for the future, but we can just see how you walk around the set and talk, and you're on camera, you're going to be big. So here's what you need to do. They take me into the truck out back and, like, listen, treat every text like it's going to go viral. Treat every message and email like it's going to go viral. X, Y, Z, LMNOP. And it's like, wow. At first, I ignored a lot of that stuff. Like, if a girl wants to send me pictures, I'm going to take them, you know, that kind of thing. But when you really think about it, like, these guys have been in the industry for a very long time. So when I start thinking, you know what? This girl is like saying and talking really slick. Maybe I should text it back, but I'm going to treat this like it's going viral. So let me now change what I was going to say mm-hmm. and say something else. So you just never know, man.
Okay. So we got one of them, which was licking behind the knees.
Yeah. That was the one thing.
What's the other one? Is that for the second podcast when you come back?
I got to give you guys part two. Keep your audience wanting more.
Okay.
That's the secret.
Well, this has been a good part one.
Dude, this has been an amazing part one.
That was it. The Swoozy Ear Biscuit.
You know, he's full of advice. You know, this is what he does on the internet.
Well, he's a philosophical guy.
Yeah, he's got this, the way that he talks about things is, well, okay, let me tell you the way that I see it, or the way I've always thought of it, or here's an analogy to explain that, or here is a little 3G, little acronym that I've come up with for my life philosophy.
I would say he's got like the motivational speaker gene.
Yes.
You know?
Right.
I could definitely see him doing that. You know, I mean, he talks about that whole fearing the development of a show called To Catch a YouTuber. I think he should be thinking more, even formatting more. He's basically the Dear Abby of YouTube. He could do something even more in that format. I mean, he didn't ask me. But the producer in me is like, okay, let's this whole ability to encapsulate things in terms of comedic but meaningful advice, I think that can be formatted even further, Swoozy, if you're listening to your own ear biscuit.
He is listening to his own ear biscuit, but I think it's working pretty well for him, yeah. First of all. One interesting dynamic, as we discussed thoroughly, that might affect this whole Dear Abby plan is the fact that most of everything that he has a lesson about comes from a specific experience. So there's this dynamic, and we experience this too. It's one of the reasons that on Good Mythical Morning, we don't always tell personal stories because you run out of them. You know, that's why we start going to articles and lists and other things.
Or like we said, you adopt a lifestyle of creating experiences for the sake of the story.
Right.
I was told a few years ago by a friend of mine who, I think we were going on a trip to make videos, and he said, you know, don't forget, it's always better to have a good story than a good time.
And he was right.
If you're an entertainer, I guess.
Yeah, well, and we talk about that all the time. If we're going to do something and we begin to contemplate making a stupid decision about something, Like, should we rent these scooters? Will we possibly die? It's like, well, heck, we'll be able to talk about it on Good Mythical Morning, so we might as well just do it. I don't know what kind of impact that has on our lives. I know that
it's a slippery slope of recklessness is what it sounds like.
No, but I'm saying that with Swoozie, there's this thing that he is living a life that he has chosen to make public. The people who are close to him in his life, their lives are going to be made public in a entertaining way that apparently most of them are comfortable with. It's an interesting dynamic, and he's doing that particular thing just about as well as anybody on the internet. And we had a good time talking to him. Thanks to Swoozie for sharing some things that he didn't intend on sharing, talking about things that I love it. Like we say all the time, when somebody says, I didn't know I was going to talk about this, then we know that we're A, doing something right, and B, having a good time.
Let Swoozie know what you think of his ear biscuit. It's Swoozie, but the I is a number one. S-W-O-O-Z-1-E. Let him know what you think of his ear biscuit. His icon right now is Aladdin.
That's interesting.
Yeah, you know, he doesn't look like Aladdin. Maybe a little bit.
You sure that's the right one?
Yeah, it's definitely him. He's following us. YouTube partner, pajama model, former Disney employee, time traveler, music and film lover.
That is him. He apparently has an identity crisis and thinks he's Aladdin. Maybe there's something we're missing. Maybe there's another video we need to watch. Or maybe you need to watch it after being introduced to Swoozie.
Also, let us know what you think. Hashtag EarBiscuits on Twitter. Be sure to leave a review on iTunes. We always appreciate that. And we'll have another one of these next week. You can count on us.
Yes.
Can we count on you?
Yes. I hope so.
I believe we can.